Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The week ahead with CNBC on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle with Elliot Duncombe, Anisha Tank and Ryan Huang. It's time to take a look at what's coming up this week and what markets are keeping an eye on.
Yeah, just a little bit over 2 weeks to the US presidential elections. Lots to look out for. But over the weekend, New Zealanders sort of re-welcome Jacinda Ardern as their continuing Prime Minister. What a landslide victory.
Yeah, so much. And you're a big fan of hers, aren't you?
I am.
Her Labour Party securing the first outright majority in Parliament in 24 years, and it's the biggest share of the vote in more than 70 years. We're also going to take a look at some of the tech tensions brewing in China and dive into this week's earnings highlights.
Okay, on the line with us this morning is CNBC's Will Galoris. Will, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot, Melissa, and Ryan. Very pleased to be able to join you yet again. I'm doing excellently. How are you guys?
Not too bad. And we're very excited over news from the weekend, that resounding win for New Zealand's Labour Party. That's kind of close-ish to where you are. Can we expect any major reforms from its leader, Jacinda Ardern, you know, in view of how she's faced many challenges delivering on some promises in her first term? Is there anything positive for foreign investors with regard to the New Zealand market?
It's going to be really interesting, especially when it does come to foreign investors, when it comes to Jacinda Ardern. She obviously has that mandate now. You know, 64 seats are looking likely, so she can basically install legislation that previously she'd have to go through the coalition process, and particularly because she had New Zealand First, which is a centre-right party. Now she really does have a progressive mandate, which is really what she has been pushing. So whether or not, you know, we do see things like the CGT being introduced before the election, she had promised that that was not going to be the case, despite the fact that the Greens, which are still being touted as a potential coalition partner, wanted, is going to be something that will be of key interest to investors, because that's basically a capital gains tax or a wealth tax that would be applied on any kind of investments that you do make in New Zealand. So that is something that if I was an overseas investor, I'd be continually watching whether or not that is going to be introduced. But it does provide her with a pretty significant mandate. The fact that she can pass through legislation unopposed by the opposition elements in New Zealand is going to be big. So there has always been, like you mentioned, a lot of talk about her not being able to really drive through some of the reforms that she tried to get through, like in terms of providing 100,000 new houses for affordable housing for people that were struggling, really addressing child poverty. So it's going to set up a really interesting situation, just how far they try to push with any kind of significant reform. She's already flagged that she wants to do some things when it comes to small business and for people that are unemployed. But with this mandate, there really is no excuse when it comes to her approach. So really, it's a prove it situation for Jacinda Ardern and the Labour Party in terms of pushing through, because they're already looking at the case where they've got an overinflated asset market because of all the signaling that's been happening with negative rates. That even though the Finmin, when he was on CNBC a couple of weeks ago, was saying that that's potentially not going to necessarily happen, but there just is this overinflation of the equity markets, overinflation of house prices in New Zealand at the moment, which was a big election issue as well. So that they've really got to deliver now and provide all of the things that they have been saying, and now that they've really got no headwinds when it does come to pushing through any legislation that they want to.
Yeah, so if she wants to be decisive, now is the time. Speaking of decisive, let's talk about China, which has passed a new law over the weekend to restrict sensitive exports to protect national security. A bit of tit for tat with the US in terms of a blacklist. So what's the significance of this ahead, of course, of those US elections which are coming up?
See, that's where it gets really tricky, Manisha, because is it as significant as it will be if Biden wins the election? So they've obviously set that December 1 date for it to start. They're obviously looking at perhaps mitigating some of, or not mitigating in a sense, but perhaps addressing some of the things that the United States has been doing to them when it does come to technologies and everything else. I would be looking as well at the rare earths element to this, because that is incredibly significant, because so many of these tech companies are heavily dependent on Chinese rare earths. They've already tried throughout the course of the past couple of years to really ease off the dependence and reliance on them. But if you were to see China, for example, saying to all of these major tech firms, major defense contractors, that we're going to completely shut off the supply of rare earths to you, that will be absolutely significant, because it will impact across the supply chain when it comes to the military use applications, the big tech use applications. And it's going to put a lot of emphasis on some of the other and marginal comparatively to the China rare earth companies that are around the world. And they've really been trying to have that independence when it does come to rare earths. They've engaged in a number of partnerships with a number of companies, some from Australia, some from the United States over the course of this past year. But if they were to say that rare earths is a part of this, it would completely have an over and above impact on a lot of their technology operations. Now, really, we'll have to rush in order to sort that out. But, you know, you've got all the things that are talking about their national security measures, like the politics, land, military, the economy, culture. They've got this wide-ranging thing, but it just does look like they're really aiming to take aim at what the United States has done. And I would not be surprised if perhaps if Biden was to win, that this might not necessarily be something that they fully engage in. And that's also something to be watching for, what happens when it comes to the US election and just how much of a hawkish stance, if Biden was to win, that he will be taking against China, as opposed to what obviously President Trump has been doing over the course of the past year. And we have the Q3 GDP coming through again today as well. There's been a lot of already bidding when it comes to the Australian dollar, expecting a little bit of an upside beat. I've seen, for example, Morgan Stanley, I reckon it's going to be 5% year on year. Reuters are tipping 5.2%. Wouldn't be surprised if it's somewhere along the lines of 5.3, 5.4, and that would justify some of the action that we've seen on the Forex markets. And yeah, in terms of even, say, for example, industrial production, probably around 6%, and retail sales, maybe 1%, but a lot of that is going to be dependent on services as well.
Hey, Will, I'm talking about things to look out for this week. Earnings season kicks up a gear for the likes of IBM, Tesla, and Netflix, which has benefited from the pandemic. What's getting you excited this week?
It all gets me excited, but I shouldn't say it in that respect. But in terms of Netflix, subs is always going to be the key driver for Netflix, whether or not they could improve in Q3, because obviously they got a little bit of a boost when it came to Q2, Q1. You're dealing with the COVID pandemic. They've flagged that they're going to get 2 million extra subs for Q3, whether or not they can hit that. If they were to beat 2 million, considering all of the other competitive pressures that they're facing in terms of, like, for example, Peacock, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, if they can beat 2 million, they should see a pretty significant jump when it does come to their SP. But again, it's incredibly crowded, so I'm hoping that perhaps if they don't meet that analysts and the like, and even the market reaction, because of the crowded nature of that, the expectations of hitting 2 million extra might be a little bit stretched, considering. Also, in terms of Tesla, what you're looking for Q3, they're expecting revenue at around about that 8.2 billion mark. Whether or not they can, again, even despite the fact that they're getting all the subsidies and whatnot that's really driving up their profits, whether they can maintain that profit momentum, whether they give any further signaling in terms of Tesla about that 500,000 production target, if they can hit that for the full year, because obviously with more volume, that obviously improves their margins as well. So it really is going to be whether they can maintain that 500,000 production guidance, and then obviously moving into Q4, whether they actually hit it. In terms of IBM, they've already pre-guided. So back, I think it was October the 8th, I want to say, that this is US timing, they said 17.6 billion in terms of revenue, $2.58 on the EPS side. You would expect that because it's within, say, a couple of weeks, that it's going to be a relatively inline result. So maybe with IBM, it's best to be looking at what they're doing in terms of their growth in their cloud and in their cognitive software, I believe it is, and how much year-to-date growth they've been able to manage there and how much further spending they're going to be doing there to drive growth further on, because cloud is obviously incredibly crowded, as Netflix is with the other providers. They've got a lot of competition in the cloud space. You've got Microsoft, you've got AWS. So how much and how hard they're running when it comes to their cloud is something that I'd be looking for if I was, you know, investing in IBM at the moment as well.
We've been speaking with CNBC's Will Caloris. Will, as always, thank you so much for your time. Take care and stay safe.
You too, guys. Love it. Have a good one.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.